I love the love. I love all the love. Dick's helping me out, getting the attention. Welcome. Welcome again to Grace Covenant Church. It's great to see you. It's a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. We are coming off of an incredible weekend. For those of you who are part of the Grace Inner Healing Workshop, you want to raise your hand? Yeah, it was awesome, wasn't it? We've got a little to be continued after the service today for a few of those. And it was a powerful time together. And I think what the beautiful thing is, the teaching was simply and powerfully the gospel of Jesus. The gospel. It's good news. It is really good news. And one of the quotes that I wrote down that I'm just going to live on forever is, inner healing is really just manifest revelation of the truth. Because it's the truth that sets us free. Amen. It's good stuff. So you're going to hear, for those of you who are here this weekend, you know, I was changed. I was transformed by some of this a new way of looking at the beautiful gospel of Jesus. And so you'll probably hear me say a few or a lot of things that Catherine and Ray said. And, you know, it's the gospel, so they really can't claim it as their own. And plagiarism is the best form of flattery, right? So I know that they'd be okay with it. But it really was a wonderful time together. And I just am so thankful for them and God bringing them to us and the anointing that they carry and the power that's in their lives. So the thing is, about a year ago, they were here, and they did an identity restoration workshop. Some of you may remember that. And while they were here, Ray was really sensing something, a stronghold, a principality, if you will, over this area. And the thing that he was sensing was the word, not enough. And when he said that, it kind of was like a punch in the gut to us as leaders. You know how sometimes people can put language to things that you've known as true and you felt as true, and they put language to it, and all of a sudden it feels like you have a grasp of it? There's something in the spirit that says, I'm not enough. God's not enough. I don't have enough. I can't be enough. I'll never be enough. Da, da, da. You know, there's this tape that plays in our minds like that. And so when he said that last year, it just resonated deeply with me. And not just for myself, but it is something I believe that rests over this area. And so we've been, for a year now, we've been praying into that thing. We've been praying over the Lord that he would break that stronghold over us, that we would no longer be trapped into this small thinking that he's not enough and that we're not enough. And so when we decided to do this series, the I Am, which is, I love it. You know, this is the series that could go on forever, where we just talk about who God is and his goodness and his faithfulness and the fullness of his character. We'll never exhaust its depths, ever. And I love it. And so when we decided to do this series, Merle gave us as pastors permission to pick which part of the I Am we were going to cover. And I just felt like, you know, we've been praying over this thing. I want to go after this thing that he's not enough. Because the truth is, he is enough. He is exceedingly, abundantly more than enough for us. You know, we hear it said as Christians often. But a lot of times what it is it's like the ending of a terrible sentence that describes our deficit. So it's like all the country songs, right? my dog died, and my pickup truck broke down, my girlfriend left me, but God's enough. Right? This is what we do. We say God's enough after we've described our terrible deficit. Like, what is that? And, you know, you guys are all going to know when my neighbors start coming to church here because I'll stop talking about them. But I have a neighbor who it's always the same story. I don't have enough money, and I don't, my wife won't do this, you know. And I think it's just because I'm a pastor. But he'll always end with, "But God's enough," and I'm like, "Hold me back from flying away with inspiration." You know, it's like. I can tell you really have stock in that faith there. And I think what we've done is, I was thinking about this, and God showed me this picture. And so my older brother, and I will, older brother, John, he, when he was little, he could, like, down a whole box of cereal for breakfast. Like, he could eat a whole box of cereal for breakfast. And so my mom said, "Jonathan, you can only have two bowls of cereal." Like, she had to put a limit on him, okay? "You can only have two bowls of cereal." So what did he do? Found the biggest bowl. And he would pour the cereal in, and he would tamp it down. So he would pour the cereal in, and then he would, like, tamp it down. And then, of course, you pour the milk in, and it, like, goes everywhere. But he got that extra three bites that tamping it down allowed for. And I think this is what we do in the Spirit. We try to fill up our bowl, our lives. We try to fill up our lives with so much. And then we realize I'm still not full. And we ask God to fill in the gaps. "Would you come fill in my deficit? Will you fill in the rest?" But the thing is, in our own effort, in our own strength, we can never be full. We will never be enough separated from what God has done for us and the finished work of the cross. He is entirely enough without my help. I've had a crazy month, busy month, and I said, Bert was quick to remind me this morning that I did it to myself. And he's totally right. It's been a crazy month, and I was driving a week ago or something, and out of nowhere, I heard the Lord say to me, "I would still love you," or "I don't love you more because of all the stuff you're doing." I'm so thankful for that. You know, for a second, there was this piece of me that was like, I mean, a brownie point, gold star something. Come on, Lord, I'm working really hard here. But if he doesn't love me more because of what I do, he's not loving me less because of what I'm not doing. There's nothing that I can do, and there's nothing that I don't do that separates me from the love of Christ. Nothing adds to the gospel. Nothing that I do adds to it. It is a finished and complete and full work. And it's beautiful. So when we say that he's enough, there's not just one verse that plainly states it. But it's actually the entirety of Scripture points us towards that. And so we can look at the whole Bible, and we can hear God beckoning us and saying, "I'm enough. I'm more than enough." In John 4, 7 through 14, I'll read this. I think you'll see it up here. This is the story of the woman at the well. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? And are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." Jesus' supply does not just quench our thirst, but it satisfies it and it fills us forever and ever and ever. It brings us life. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but he is sufficient. John 3:34 says that he gives us his spirit without measure. There's no scale. That candy bucket out in the foyer is not going to hold it. The biggest container that you could ever find is not going to be able to hold the measure of the Spirit that he wants to pour out on us. He gives without measure and without stopping. He's generous with himself. Ephesians 3:19-20, he tells us that the love of Christ surpasses understanding. It's not something that we can grasp with our minds. And he says that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he tells us that he will do far more abundantly than all we could ever ask or imagine. Philippians 4:19 says that my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches. He doesn't give us just an allowance, right? It's not like, okay, well, this is what you need, and this is what you need, and this is... He gives out of his riches, the abundance of his riches. God being enough isn't that he's just enough. He doesn't cap off at the top of the cup. He's not just enough. He's not equal to your need. He is far above and far beyond your need. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Let's break that down a little bit. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. He revealed to us the plan of salvation and righteousness. He made us acceptable before God. This is one of the things that Ray and Catherine talked about a lot, is that we are righteous. Not we are becoming righteous, but we are righteous. We are holy and we are blameless in his sight. We're not becoming. We can't do it. He did it for us. One of the statements that Ray made that just unraveled me completely is he said that sanctification is not a process. We are sanctified. Believing that we're sanctified is the process. The work has been done. It's my job to believe that the work has been done. The truth is already true. I can't add any more truth to it. I can't do anything to make the truth true. Hang on, guys. It's okay. So I have five things that my goal now is to woo you in. To woo you into believing that God is more than enough, okay? Full disclosure. Come on. Come on, Jan. She's with me. So five things. There are 8,000 things that are true of us when we believe that God's enough, okay? These are the five things I believe that the Lord put on my heart for us to understand today, to gain a revelation of today, okay? So number one, when I believe that God is enough, there's no room for shame. So we talked a lot about lies and truth this weekend, and so when I'm ashamed, the lie is usually that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough for me, that I'm too bad, that I've messed everything up, and I really just need to hide. If we look at John 8, the woman caught in the act of adultery, and I have to just say, the woman, you know, by herself, caught in the act of adultery. Where's the dude? Hello. Okay, off that soapbox. Seriously, though, come on. John 8. All right, so what happens in this story, for those of you who aren't familiar, is this woman is caught. She's covered in shame. And she's dragged through the streets. And everybody knows. Everybody knows what her shame is, and everybody knows what's about to happen. She's about to get stoned to death. And so they throw her in front of Jesus. And they tell him the rules. The law said we're supposed to stone a woman like this. So Jesus, you know, he does his doodle in the sand, but who knows? And he says, okay, you who are without sin, you throw first. Nobody can throw a stone, right? And then he looks, so they all leave. And he looks at the woman. He says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I think somebody needs to hear this morning that Jesus doesn't condemn you. Jesus doesn't condemn you. He may convict you to become who he's called you to be. He may convict you unto righteousness, but he does not condemn you. He never condemns us. And if you hear that voice and you think that it's the Lord, it is not the Lord. It is the enemy. The Lord is always pulling us into a place of our potential and our value and our worth. He's never shaking his head and looking down and pointing a finger. He could have done that with that woman. He could have said, fine. Instead, he calls her up, says, you are not condemned. In John 21, it's the story of when, after Peter had denied Jesus three times, and Jesus asks Peter the questions, Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? There are 1,000 interpretations for that scripture, and I'm not going to even attempt to let you know what I think it really is. But what I find fascinating about it is that the question wasn't, Peter, why did you do that? Peter, you said you wouldn't, you said you weren't going to betray me. But instead, the question is unto love. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Now, how can Peter even love Jesus? How are we even able to love God? We're only able to love God because he loves us and we give it back to him. And so I just have this sense that it's like, Peter, will you receive my love so you can love me again? Will you receive my love so you can love me? Will you receive my love so you can love me? He saturates him in love. No shame. Number two, there's no room for envy when we believe that God's enough. I believe this lie is probably something along the lines of, there's not enough for me. The enemy would have us believe that when the Lord provides for somebody else, that means there's less for me. That when the Lord opens a door for somebody, that's one less opportunity that I have. It's a poverty mentality, and we need to break free of it. This is not a celestial game of Monopoly, where when somebody has the boardwalk and is building hotels, that means that we're going to lose. We actually just get to go stay in the motels. Hotels. We get to be part of what God's doing in the other person. There's more than enough for you and for me. God's economy isn't limited. You know, there's a scripture that talks about rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn. And you know what? This church is really good at mourning with those who mourn. And I'm not trying to be cute. We are good at rallying around people who are hurting and who are in times of crisis. I've seen small groups like literally carry people through seasons. And it is a beautiful thing. But let's not forget the other part. Can we be a church that also rejoices when one is rejoicing? Can we be each other's biggest fans and cheer each other on? A couple months ago, or months ago maybe, a lot going on. Gordon and Sarah Beth, Travis and I, and Nathan and Sarah Blackwell went on a retreat. We flew to Texas and then drove to Oklahoma and with some leaders from Dwayne White's church and some other churches, and it was awesome. But one of the things that happened is we flew into Texas, and then they had asked Sarah to do a little teaching segment for something that they've been doing, a workshop they've been doing at their church. And, you know, Sarah sings, right? I teach. Can you see where there would have been room for me to say, wait a second? What? Well, Lord. The thing is, I really love Sarah. And I really, really love what God's doing in her. And I really believe in the gifts that he's put inside of her. And so the truth is that during that workshop, I'm like hovering in my chair. I couldn't like sit down. I was so excited because she killed it. And it was amazing. It was like absolutely, yeah, Sarah. It was absolutely incredible. So I'm like hovering. And I'm like, honestly, the truth is, it was probably one of the best like 20 minutes of my year so far. Like to watch her step into this new thing that God's doing and to cheer her on. It was amazing. And so, you know, I'm like Instagramming, I'm taking all these pictures, I'm texting everybody, telling everybody how great she's doing. She's making these points, and I'm like, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, there's like 25 people in the room. It's like totally, totally absurdly ridiculous. But there was something of life that was given to me as I rejoiced watching my friend do something that God has clearly called her to do. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So let's be ones who rejoice in what God's doing for another, knowing that what, you know, testimony is the spirit of prophecy. What he does for one, he'll do for another. He is not limited. Number three, when I know that God is enough, I have nothing to prove. This lie is probably that I'm not enough. I need to perform, I need to do, I need to accomplish, I need to make it happen, and I need to do it myself. But the thing is, we have a righteousness that's not of our own. I didn't do it, and as hard as I try, I can't do it. Sanctification, it's already been done. My job is just to believe that it's already been done and step into the fullness and the goodness that God has for me because of that reality. He is sufficient. Second part of that verse is that, and therefore he makes me sufficient. I'm enough. I'm enough. You're enough. Nothing we do adds or takes away from God's love for you, from his purposes, from his fullness, from the life he wants to give you. When we have this revelation, it kills performance. Performance being me working really, really hard to make something happen. Or me working really hard so that I get affirmations, that people like me. You know, I played sports in high school, and I always played better when I knew that my coach believed in me. You know, when I knew that that position was mine. You know, when I didn't have fear of being benched. I always played better. Aaron Nolan teaches a class that there's no grade for it. And he says he always gets the best work out of that class. Because the pressure's off. I don't have to make something happen. I'm not trying to impress somebody. Merle, who's him and Sue are at Battelle doing a marriage seminar this past week. And, you know, Merle hired me when I was 24. What was he thinking? And the thing is, you know, even being at that retreat, you see leadership styles. You see the way that people function and how things break down. And so often, you'll have the one guy, that lead pastor, who just tells everybody what to do. Merle doesn't do that, and I honor him for it. Instead, he looks at Gordon, he looks at me, he looks at Mike, he looks at Bert, and he sees gifting, and he releases us. Like, the space that he's given me to run is just, I'm not sure it's smart, but it's incredible. I so honor and appreciate him for not putting a limit on what God can do in me. Spurgeon says, "Our sufficiency is of God. Let us practically enjoy this truth. We are poor, leaking vessels, and the only way for us to keep full is to put our pitcher under the perpetual flow of boundless grace. Then, despite its leakage, the cup will always be full to the brim." I did a Caleb quote a couple weeks ago, and I have another one. This is why I became a parent, for the funny things that my kids say. it's a little bit true. So he's a kindergartner. And after his first week of school, we're talking to him. And of course, P.E. is his favorite. He loves P.E. And so he was telling us that they got to run on the track. You know, we got to go run on the track. And he said to Travis and I, we're eating dinner, he goes, "Yeah, I was in first place behind a whole bunch of people." Travis and I are like, "Yeah, yeah, you were." And I just, you know, he says these things, and then it's like, oh, God, I want that. Like, instead of looking around at everybody else, I want to be like, look at me, I'm running, and I'm fast. I'm running fast. Who cares? Number four. When we believe that God is enough, we can have peace. God tells us that he will supply our every need. This week was really full. Really full. And I know, Bert. I know. I did it to myself. So we had, you know, I had the workshop to plan for. Had our Battelle team for the summer. The commitment deadline was on Wednesday. We bought airfare tickets on Thursday, which was kind of a nightmare. And, you know, and I want to have something valuable to tell you guys today. In addition to all the normal stuff that I do from week to week. And so it was a lot. And I think it was Friday night. I'm just kind of, you know, okay. Whew. I'm peaceful. You know, it's like I'm sort of like desperately trying to be peaceful, which doesn't work. trying to like find peace, whatever. And it scripture, because God's so good to me, scripture comes to mind. It's from Isaiah. It says that he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is fixed on him. So what do? I start going, he will keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind is stayed on him. He will keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind is stayed on him. Like, honestly, this is what I'm doing. Like by repeating the verse, I'm going to drown out all the other things that have to happen. And then I realize that was an invitation. He just mailed me an invitation. And the promise was, I will give you perfect peace if you fix your eyes on me. And he does. Peace is a person. He says we sing it. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He's a Prince of Peace. He is a person. Peace is actually something that the Lord's been talking to me personally about for a while. Like partnering with peace. Being in peace regardless of the circumstances. Like living, breathing, doing everything from a place of peace. Which I believe you can have when you really believe that God's enough. And the thing is, too often what I do is I just try to take care of the circumstances so that I can have peace. You know? Inactivity is not actually synonymous with peace. Okay? It's kind of like, and I think what happens is when I try to do that, it's like trying to climb up a slide when other people are trying to come down at the same time. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work out that way. Peace. Yeah. Peace is a reality in the spirit that exists. It's a place. It's a real thing. It's not an emotion. It's not a lack of something else. It's a spiritual reality that comes over you. And I said before that peace is a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so I remember praying for somebody sometime. And the beautiful thing about praying prophetically is that at times the Lord will give you a word for a person and you're like, that is really good. I think I'm going to keep that for myself too. And so this picture has really stuck with me. But what I saw, and I don't remember who I was praying for, so I'm not exposing anyone, but I was praying for peace. And I saw Jesus show up at their house. And he's moving in. And he's not just like going to spend the night. It's apparent. He's like got a moving van. He's got stuff. He's like got his suitcases. Like he is moving in and he's going to take up space. In my house, there is not one square inch where you could be in my house and you could not tell that I don't have kids. Like you can tell that I have kids. Everywhere in my house, even in the stairwell, there are fingerprints like that go all the way up the stairs. You know, it's like you just know that I have kids if you're in my house. And that was the sense that I had, is that peace is moving in and his presence will be known. It's hard to be fearful in the presence of peace. Can we not elevate the other one? That it's hard to have peace in the presence of fear. It's hard to have fear in the presence of peace. In the presence of Jesus, it's really hard to be afraid. Augustine says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Number five, last one. When we believe that God is enough, we are able to dream. I think the lie here would be that I'm not gifted, I'm not talented, I'm not smart, I'm not, you know, there's some deficiency in me. That I'm never really going to be able to do very much. I'm never going to amount to anything. But when we believe that God is enough, then we have the ability to dream beyond what we're able to do. We can dream about what God can do and how we can be part of that. Jonathan and his armor bearer in 1 Samuel 14:6. This is just such, it's an awesome story. Lost my place. Don't worry, I do know where it is. So if you've never heard the story before, basically what it is the Israelites are fighting the Philistines battle, and they're not doing real well. And Jonathan takes his armor bearer, and he makes this statement of, "Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And so he's inviting his armor bearer to come up with him and face the enemy, knowing that God can come through. And it says, they paint the picture for you, it says that there was a rocky crag on either side. So it's not, there's no like subtlety here. There's no like sneaking. They actually had to like climb these rocks just to be able to get up to where the Philistines are. So they saw them. But Jonathan knew that the Lord had given them the victory. So they climb to the top, they kill 20 guys, then confusion breaks out in the camp, they start killing each other. Then, of course, Saul's like, oh, the troops should go. Finish the rest. Nothing can hinder the Lord. Nothing. Because he is more than enough. He is limitless. And you know what? You are allowed to receive more than enough. You have permission. Righteousness, peace, and joy is your inheritance in the gospel. You have permission to receive more than all you can ask, dream, or think from the Lord. Luke, you want to come up? So, my birthday was the end of January, and one of the things that we do as a staff, and thanks to Christy Lamb, who started this, is we write each other prophetic words for our birthdays. Be jealous, I know. Actually, don't, because God's enough. He'll speak to you. See what I did there? but so for our birthdays, we all have a book, and we will write, we'll ask the Lord for a scripture or song or something, and we'll write a prophetic word to the person who's about to experience their birthday. And so I was talking with a friend one day, and was talking about this one place of struggle for me, and she had asked the question, well, when does it come up? When does that come up for you? And I said, well, it's every time I feel like I'm not enough. That's when this thing rears its ugly head and comes to the surface. So we talked about it, finished the conversation. Well, so then the next day I get my book. And actually it had been a day behind because Bev had said, she wanted an extra day. Anyways, it's because the Lord was doing something and orchestrating something is what it was. And so Bev writes in my book, I believe the scripture that the Lord is wanting to say to you is found at the very end of Exodus 36:7. She writes it in two different versions. For the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. In a different version, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. And in context, what's happening here is that they're building the temple, and the people had brought more materials than were actually necessary to complete the job. And then she goes on to say, and it's underlined here, it's like the Lord is so like, more than enough, underlined. The Lord has deposited in you and has given you everything you will need to accomplish the things he has in store for you this year. Because he is more than enough. He is more than enough. There is no deficit. There is no lack. He is more than enough. The Lord is extravagant with himself. He really is more than enough, and he's more than enough for today, and he's more than enough for tomorrow. He's more than enough for your pain. He's more than enough for your marriage. He's more than enough for your job, and he's more than enough for all your relationships. He is more than enough for your fear and your anxiety, and he's more than enough for your hurt. He's more than enough for your heart. He's more than enough for your kids. He's more than enough for school. He is more than enough for your finances. Would you stand? I'm going to pray a passage out of Ephesians over you. Ministry team, you could go ahead and come forward, please. Let's pray. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you, if you want to believe today in a new way that God is more than enough for you, I want to invite you to come forward and let the ministry team pray over you that you would receive a new level of faith. You know, faith sometimes feels like a hard thing to grasp. But we look at the scripture that says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance there, the Greek word is hypostasis. And it literally means a standing under that which is apparent. Amplified a little bit further, it's that which, though is unseen, exists beneath what is visible. It is our foundation. I just have a sense that there are some of you that feel like this just hasn't been my experience. I haven't experienced God really being enough for me. And I feel like this faith thing is a ladder out of that this morning. What do you have to lose? If you feel that way, you're already disappointed. Take a chance to let the Lord stir new faith in you that might be the very ground that launches you out of this place that you've been. So come forward if you want that. Come forward if you have any physical needs that you want prayer for. We will pray and we will believe that God will heal you today. Come forward if you've never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Come forward. We would love nothing more than to make that a reality for you today. Come forward if you just need to stand with someone and let them pray over you. God, bless this group. Bless these people. Thank you for the finished work of your cross. Thank you that you are more than enough, that you will always be more than enough, that we can rest securely in your enoughness. Pour out yourself on us, God. We want to receive more. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed to go and to believe that he is enough for you. Amen.